Thank you very much, church, for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church. We're very excited about the opportunity we've had this morning to worship together. It has come to our time where we're going to study together. We're going to challenge ourselves together. But what a great day it's been already. Thank you to those who may be visiting with us today. You are indeed special to us, your guests, and your, we want you to feel honored. We want you to know we appreciate you being here very, very much. Do want to say thank you to those who work so hard in getting things ready. There's going to be a great opportunity for us to celebrate today with Taylor and Mackenzie, a couple that I'll say more about in the back, but I love them very much. I appreciate them very much, just like you all do as well. And I'm excited about what their future holds together. But also, I want to say thank you to those who have worked so hard to make next Saturday a special day also. It's going to be a great day that we're able to give back to Aubrey Nicholas's family. And I certainly want to encourage those to keep helping out with that also. It's a beautiful place here at Azalea City. You're an encouragement to me. And thank you very much for all that you do. It is the month of November, and as been pointed out, Bill, this morning in reminding us of the importance of Jesus and the feast that we were able to partake of together, it is very important for us to remember what God has done for us. You know, I'm the type of person I need to be reminded, and it doesn't insult me if somebody tells me, hey, will you announce this or will you do this? And I usually try to tell them, if you remind me, that will not offend me because sometimes I forget. Michelle also has to put a lot of things in the phone. We share a calendar and it links together. And so those are very important. So I'm the type of person that needs reminding. Thea, will you turn the lights down a little bit, please? That may be you as well. We as Christians sometimes need reminding. It is that time of year where we are together, where we are thinking about what we are to be thankful for. And so this entire month, we're going to try to center everything around gratitude. This is not something that is done just because it's this time of year. God expects us to be people that live thankfully. You remember those lepers. You remember Jesus healing them of that awful disease. 9 of them choose, once they're healed, to go the other way, to just leave and go about. They're so excited. They're probably wrapped up in having this new health. They go their own way. They leave. They never come back and tell Jesus thank you. Of course, one does. But Jesus asked the question, where are the other 9? May we not ever be that other 9. May we never fail to return to Jesus and thank Him for what He's done. So today I want to talk about gratitude from a standpoint of it being our attitude. And I know that's catchy and I didn't come up with it, but it really is an attitude. The way we decide that I'm going to live every day of my life with thanksgiving. I'm going to make sure that I thank God in the way, verbally and in the way that I live. When I live that way, then it changes my mindset. It changes my attitude. It makes me appreciate what God has done. Last week we talked about this. Today I want us to talk about it from a great chapter of the Bible. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But before we do, I want you to know that I saw this the other day and I thought it'd be something that maybe can teach a lesson to us in it all. The first list I have, there was a group of moms that they were asked to write down what you're thankful for. And I'm sure this is tongue in cheek, okay? But here are some of the things they said. First of all, one said, I'm thankful for automatic dishwashers, because they make it possible for us to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back in for their after-dinner snacks. For husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house, because they usually make them big enough to call in the professionals. For children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. There's such a joy. You hate to see them go home to their own parents. For teenagers, this is very true in today's day and time. They give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. Between text messaging and the way they talk and everything else, it's certainly the truth. She said, for smoke alarms, because they let you know when the turkey is done. That's about right, isn't it? Here's one that may be a little closer to what we all need to be thankful for today. I'm thankful for the taxes I pay. Now, not a lot of people would say that, would they? But when you put things in perspective, it reminds us that we are employed. The clothes that may fit a little too tight, because it means I have more than enough to eat. A yard that needs mowing, windows that need washing, gutters that need cleaning, because it means I have a home. My huge heating bill, because it means I am warm. The piles of laundry, because it means I have loved ones very close by. When we put things in perspective, and we take on the attitude of I'm going to be thankful in the good times and in the bad, it reminds us as Christians that we want to return to give thanks. We want to go back to the one who has healed us, yes, perhaps from physical ailments, but if we've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, He's healed us all of a spiritual disease. We need to return to thank Him. We need to be thankful people. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 100, please. Psalm 100 is one of those passages that is just very, very special. It's a passage that I'm sure will be used a lot this time of year, but may it not just be this time of year. Maybe it be used in our lives every day. Maybe you need to just pin it. You could actually cut it off the bulletin there and pin that to your mirror, maybe in your bathroom or in your vehicle or at your cubicle at work or wherever it may be, to remind us of the importance of giving thanks to God. It's very important. Very important. We see throughout Scripture, God wants us to be thankful. The 100th Psalm was written to the people of God, God's people, the Jews, the people of Israel. He reminded them that when you go into this land, by the way, that was the land that God gave them, the promised land, right? It was the land they didn't deserve. They didn't do anything. Yeah, they obeyed His voice, which is great, but in the grand scheme of conquering, it was God who conquered it for them. It was God who gave it to them. He said, when you return and you go into this land, I should say, you're going to settle in. You're going to build your homes. You're going to establish your families. You're going to have plenty of food to eat. You're going to have plenty of land to grow food on. You're going to be victorious. Remember, He promised Joshua, every place you step, it will be yours. You're going to be victorious. You're going to be powerful. You're going to be wealthy. He just said, don't what? Don't forget me. Don't forget to thank me. Don't forget who I am. Don't forget it was me who led you out of the wilderness. It was me who brought you into this land that's truly flowing with that milk and that honey, that fertile land that you can prosper with. But what happened? It did not take very long for them to come to the realization that they had forgotten God. And I'm afraid sometimes that's us. Here we are. Folks, we are in 2017. We are not in a time of poverty. Even if we are poor, by American standards, we are not poor compared to the world. I may not have what my neighbors have. I may not have what the guy across the street has. I may not have what some others have. But folks, I've got food in my belly. I've got clothes on my back. I've got shelter to live in. We are very wealthy. We have running water. We have water that heats up. We have ways to stay warm. We have ways to stay cool. We are so very blessed. But sometimes I believe we forget where those blessings came from. They didn't come from us. Just because we may tear down barns and build bigger barns, they did not come from us. They came from God. We have what we have because of our God. And we must not forget that. Psalm 100 now, beginning in verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. I believe that there is a real danger when we do realize how thankful we are. I believe there is a real danger in just being thankful on the basis of what we have. Hear me out on that. Sometimes we, and again, I am one of them, we need to count our blessings. But sometimes I think we associate our blessings with having plentiful. We're richly blessed, okay? But listen to where I'm trying to go with this. Sometimes we say, do I have enough food to eat? Or even, do I have enough food to gorge myself on? I mean, let's be real about it, right? And if that's the case, you know what we say? Well, I'm so thankful. I am so thankful. Do I have enough money in the bank? If I do, I am so thankful, God. Am I healthy? Do I have good health? If I do, I am thankful. But that's not what should ultimately determine our thanks. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be thankful for those things. In fact, we should. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. If we did that, it would take us a lot of time, wouldn't it? We have a lot of blessings. But listen to what this psalm, let me remind you of what is the basis of our thanks. In verse 1, you'll find the word Lord. In verse 2, you'll find the word Lord. In verse 3, you'll find the word Lord. In verse 4, it says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. And in verse 5, you'll again find the word Lord. The basis of our thanksgiving, of our gratitude, is the Lord. He is the basis of it all. And so, food is not what we should be thankful for, even though we are thankful for it. It's not just money. It's not just clothes. It's not just the breath we breathe. It's not just life, health. Ultimately, it's God. It's our God. It's Yahweh, the Almighty, the One who loves us even when we have been unlovable. And so as we search in Psalm 100 today, I'm going to give us five things. It's going to look like four, but it's really five. Five things. Five demands of gratitude. When it comes down to trying to be a more appreciative person, a person that stops and doesn't get caught up in the world and the everyday grind, and I stop and I try to see what really matters in life. And this is a lesson we teach our children, right? We teach our children, when somebody does something for you, you be thankful. You don't talk back. You respect them. But why is it that important to teach it to our children about an adult or somebody else, and we do not remind ourselves about God? Because sometimes our attitude is mixed up. Sometimes our attitude is not gratitude, it's being ungrateful. It's that ingratitude, that gratitude that expects it. Well, let me tell you, gratitude demands some things as well. And here's some of them. If we really want to truly have an appreciation of God, the first thing we've got to do is shout to the Lord. This is not me making it up, right? It's written right here in this psalm. In verse 1, he reminds us, shout. Now let me tell you what that word shout really is. The Hebrew word there, it reminds us, again, there are a lot of definitions, but the one I really like, and I think it's referring to, is it's a war cry. If we're going to go into battle, and we're going to let the world know, hey, we're coming, we're letting that army know, we're coming, they say, shout, and they yell out. That kind of shout is what we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, need to be doing to God. Thank you. Thank you. Bill said it three times. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you do for us. Has God solved your problem? By the way, sometimes we get wrapped up in trying to solve it on our own, but it's really God who does it. We've had some challenges in life. Maybe we've had some struggles in life, and we've seen God get us through that. Have we shouted to Him? Have we magnified His name? Because if we fail to do that, not only are we showing ingratitude, but it's a dangerous place we're entering because we're not going to be practicing what Psalm 100 teaches us. When God does something for us, we need to make sure His name is yelled out. Now, I'm not necessarily saying we yell it. I'm saying we lift it. We magnify it. We let the world or the person know it was not me. It was God. A second, not getting into our points yet, but maybe something else God has done. He's given you direction in your life. Isn't that important? I am not the best. Like if somebody says, hey, what's the fastest way to get so and so? I don't know. You know, I know the way I go, like on my routes to work or my routes. Like when I was living in the Sims area and we traveled to Mobile Christian every day, I knew every route you could go, and I tried to time which one was. So I could probably do that. But if it's just like, hey, I'm trying to get to such and such, what's the quickest way to do that? You know what I have to do? Let me have the address, and I'll type that thing in. And then I'll let Siri or whoever tell me. Miss Google, whoever that lady is. But the point is, I need direction. And man, God's given me direction. He said He will light our paths. He will direct our steps. Do we believe that? Do we believe that we are God-led? Are we living that way? Are we thanking Him for it? Are we shouting His name? Are we saying, thank you, Lord, for showing me the way? Has God provided a blessing? There's not a person here, from the youngest among us that can talk and think for themselves to the oldest among us. We all have been blessed by God. Whether we've done anything for Him or not, we've been blessed by God. But do we realize that it comes from Him? Do we realize it's God who's doing this? From the depths of our being, we need to be able to proclaim the praise of our Lord. That's not real popular, is it? Sometimes. Because sometimes we think as Christians we need to be reserved. And listen, I'm not going out there saying jump up and down and get on the street corner with a bullhorn. And I'm saying though, when we have the opportunity, what I call it is putting in a good word for God and giving credit where credit is due. God has blessed us. We need to shout it. We need to let the world know quit being afraid. You know, it's the Christian light song, right? Hide it under a bushel. When we do not give God credit, we're hiding our light under a bushel. And think about what we're doing to Him. But secondly, right out of the text, we need to serve the Lord with gladness. The first part of that is serve the Lord. My children will serve their father. But I don't know if they understand the with gladness part. You know, isn't that true? Hey, you're going to get up and you're going to do this. They don't go, yes sir, thank you Dad. I love you so much. Thank you for making me cut the grass this morning. I mean, Dad, that's just awesome. I appreciate it. Never have I heard them say that. Never. I've never heard, you know, I didn't do it either. I didn't, Dad knows. He's like, you didn't do it either, boy. I'm like, really? Do we have to do that? Yes, you have to do that. Is that our mentality with God? Because when we have that mentality with God, oh, I got to go to church. Yeah, today's church day. I mean, it's just, you know, got to get this done. God doesn't want that. No. Let's say Thanksgiving. Bill talked about Thanksgiving's coming. And you've heard me say this before. But I mean, everybody's mouth watering a little bit because you're a little bit hungry right now. Ran out of mints or something maybe. But the point is, your mouths are watering. You think about that ham or you think about that turkey or you think about whatever meal. I mean, sweet potato casserole, whatever it is. Okay? Whatever it is. Think about that right now. And you think about that's coming. And you're ready. And you think, man, I can envision the smells. And then all of a sudden it's Thanksgiving Day and you get old, cold, nasty mashed potatoes been in the refrigerator about, I don't know, 3 weeks. Okay? Or you get some chicken that's just cold and they just throw it on the plate, or some turkey or whatever. You know, some lunch meat turkey and you just throw it on the plate. You know, we're going to be like, really? Nobody wants old, cold leftovers. So why are we giving God our old, cold, leftover thankfulness? That gladness part is so important. If I'm going to have an attitude of gratitude, I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to do it with joy in my heart. Now, let me say from the outset, I've never heard anybody go and do something and say, that was a waste of my time. Let's go and help somebody's yard. You know, Brother Larry, Brother Bill, Sunday afternoon for the Master. It's been some hot days and some miserable days. Bill never looked at me and said, Terry, this is miserable. I hate that we're doing this. He's got the biggest smile on his face, sweat pouring down his head, everything else. He's like, man, doesn't this feel good? It does, doesn't it? It does feel good to serve. But we've got to have the right mentality. We can't be like our children in the way we were as children. Do I have to do this? When we're asking that question, what are we saying to God? Do I have to go to church on Sunday? I get to worship Him. What a blessing this is. It's not about have to. It's about our attitude, our mindset. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's a demand. If we're going to have the attitude of gratitude, then we must serve the Lord with gladness. Number three, which is a two-parter here. Okay? I know it said five. Maybe I'm just covering my tracks, but this is really two. Know the Lord, number one. That's important, right? We need to know the Lord. Now let me ask you this. If you and I are going to know something, let's say you want to know how to do something to your vehicle, or know a recipe. Let's say you want to know a recipe. By the way, you know they have this little thing called Alexa now. You can say, Alexa, tell me how to cook biscuits. And she'll tell you. It's amazing, right? Some of you are like, I don't need that. I know how to cook biscuits or whatever. But some more of us may not. But the point is, let's say you're looking up a recipe. In order to know that recipe, you're gonna pull it up. You're going to read it. You're going to go back to it. You're going to practice it. And eventually you're going to have it down. You might write it down. Well, guess what? If I want to know the Lord, I better do a lot of that too. I better get in His book. I better spend time in prayer. I better spend time in practice. I better get back to it. I better write it down. I better remember it. I better keep on staying in God. It's important to know the Lord. So people can know the Lord and not know the Lord, right? Somebody can know, I can know you and not know you. You can know me and not know me. We can know who you are, but we might not know one another. You know what it takes to know one another? It takes intimacy. So when we're intimate with God, here's part number two. We better know that He's the Lord. He's the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, I love this story. Isaiah chapter 6, it was a very challenging time in Judah's life. It was the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah was a pretty good fellow, had done pretty good things for Judah, if you will. And so their leadership, he's dead. And so Isaiah sits there and he's thinking, and Judah may be thinking, what are we going to do? The throne is empty. But Isaiah saw God. Isaiah saw God that day. And there were cherubim. And they had all these wings and they were going around and they were shouting, holy, holy, holy. Because He's as holy as it gets. And all of a sudden, Isaiah sees God. Don't miss this. You know where God is? He's on the throne. Judah's throne was empty. But God's is never empty. You see, we can know the Lord, but we need to know that the Lord is God. He took special time in making us. You know, He made you the way He wanted you to be. DNA is a fascinating just element, or it's just fascinating in general. I'm not going to get into a lot of it, but your DNA can tell, I mean, just a little bit of matter from our bodies or blood from our bodies or something, it can tell a whole lot about us. Because there is this code that is written in each one of us. Well, that didn't happen by happenchance. It didn't happen by accident. It happened because God wrote that DNA. As He was weaving and knitting us together in our mother's womb, He made us special. He made us the way He wanted us to be. And when we realize that, it helps us love ourselves, but it helps us understand that our God, He is awesome. He's awesome. By the way, He's still making us. He's still making you and He's still making me. If we will allow Him to be the potter and us be the clay, He's still forming us. He's still molding us. Maybe He's still working on our tempers. Maybe He's still working on our weak areas of life. Maybe He's still working on our habits. Maybe He's still working on our gratitude. But we've got to recognize who He is. And then finally, this morning, once we shout to the Lord and we have that mindset, once we have the mindset that I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to do it gladly, I'm going to do it with joy, once I know the Lord, and then know that He is the Lord. He is God. It only leaves one thing to do. Enter with thanksgiving. You see how it goes hand in hand? If I do not shout to the Lord and appreciate the Lord, if I do not serve the Lord with gladness, if I do not know Him and know that He is God, then I'm not going to have a mindset that everything I do, I'm going to enter it with thankfulness. You know what God wants us to do today? He wanted us to come in this room thankful. I hope that we did. But certainly I hope we're going to leave here with that appreciation too. He wants us then to enter wherever we go to eat with thanksgiving today. Hey, why are you so happy? Why are you so... Because I got to worship our awesome God today. Wouldn't it be great if that was a conversation we had with somebody today? He wants us to enter into the world. He wants us to enter into our families. He wants us to enter into our house of worship. He wants us to enter into a relationship. He wants us to enter into a prayer life. He wants us to enter into love, into hope, into heaven with thanksgiving in our hearts. Can we do that? I'll close with the Ethiopian eunuch. What a great story. Let me just tell it to you in Terry's terms, right? Real quick. Let me remind you of it. The Ethiopian eunuch. You know what? He was searching. He was searching. And so he picks up this scroll that is from Isaiah. And it happens to be Isaiah 53, which is what we would know it as today. And he's reading about a man who went and died for others, who went through this pain and this agony, yet he never opened his mouth. Just like a sheep is silent before its shears, yet he opened not his mouth. And he's thinking, wow. And all of a sudden, God is thinking, I've got it. So he gets Philip and he says, through the Holy Spirit, run and take that chariot. Get on that chariot. Don't miss that chariot. By the way, Philip didn't enter that chariot with like, oh, here we go again. He ran to it. He got in the chariot. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless somebody shows me? And beginning right there in Isaiah 53, he taught Jesus. And along the way in teaching Jesus, he taught baptism. How do I know that? Because he connected the two together. He connected the relationship together. Because when he saw water, he says, what's stopping me right now? They just commanded the chariot to stop. You know how the story goes. They went down in the water. Philip baptized him into Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. When he came up out of the water, you know what he went on his way doing? Rejoicing. Why? Because his sins were gone. Because he had entered a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And because of that relationship, he had not only had his sins forgiven, but he had been added to the greatest institution ever in existence. One that will never fail. A kingdom that will never be destroyed. The church of our Lord. I don't know what happened to the eunuch, but I like to think everywhere he went, he entered with thanksgiving. Today, that same opportunity is for you. Will you enter it right now with thanksgiving as together we stand and sing?